What's up, y'all? This is Cookbook, the West Coast Puerto Rican, hanging out with the Hip Hop Digest. And you know this, you know this, you know this, you know this.
I don't know if you know this, but rock music is not in the top music. Like, rock music now is underground, but it thrives more. The music videos see more than rap and all that stuff, but it's the rap that's being pushed all out there and the rock music now that is like underground. It's so crazy now.
Because you know? You have to have talent to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Like they're wiring the talent out of people. These rappers, they have no talent. They just grab somebody who's willing to be controlled. They write their lyrics. They write the music. It's all done for them. They just say, okay, you're going to go out and you're going to be fucking gay. And they're like, no. Yes, you're going to be fucking gay. And you're going to wear a satanic outfit. And they make them do it. And they write their lyrics for them. And they, yeah. That's the reason why rock music's underground. You have to have talent for that.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And yes, all three of us. It's E. Green in here. What's up, man?
All three of us.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Putting some respect on the Digest name.
All right. No doubt. Welcome and thank you for riding with us, those who are listening. We got a kind of a feature-packed show tonight. A bit of TMZ.
Oh.
A little bit of TMZ. Some real underground, you know, the homework is official underground hip-hop talk. You can bet your bottom dollar on that, you know, as things to look forward to. So, I guess we're going to get right in, right?
Let's go.
The show.
All right. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is gear slutting.
Gear slut.
Yeah, we are gear slutting. Shout to T-Bear. He posted these joints on the text chain, although I had seen them right before he posted. Shout out to all the reviewers, you know, Cleveland Terry, Mo Jax of that ilk.
Mo Jax.
There is two pieces of equipment that came out, and one is for the Ute, and the other one is for dinosaurs.
The Ute.
Yeah. All right. So the first topic that we'll talk about is we'll get into the first one for dinosaurs for us. It is the ReLoop RP7 professional turntable. Now, you may say to yourself, oh, what makes ReLoop so special? Because I done seen a couple ReLoop tables and they aight, but it ain't no Pioneer. It ain't no Technique. But this is the small version, only made for 7-inch vinyls only. And Mo Jax starts his video out saying that this started way back in 2013 with Biz Markie, who showed up with them Techniques. At least Biz Markie called them the Techniques 700, I think. They look just like 1200s, but shrunk, you know. And Biz Markie's the only one. Biz has passed away. We haven't seen him since. We don't know who made him for Biz, but Mo Jax did give Biz, you know, the shout out at that it was him who with this, and every DJ who played 45s was drooling. ReLoop was like, fuck it. Fuck it. We gonna make it.
We gonna make it.
Exactly. So they bring out the RP7s, black ReLoop. They are aesthetically, they are what you would expect them to be. I am visually, I don't like straight arms, but you know, the way it's engineered, it's good. You could straight arm and put your stylus on and you would be good. Strictly, you know what I'm saying? If you got the money to burn, they're not outrageously priced at about $500 per, but you know what I'm saying? Unless you, I guess, making money or you got that dough like that and you're doing a couple of different DJ stations in your house with the ReLoops, they are gorgeous, though. I'll tell you that much. Gorgeous. So,
well, as a frugal man, can I ask you a question?
My man, please.
This is a real question. Is it, will the novelty leave now that they are mass produced versus and everybody can get them versus where Biz had the pair and everybody was drooling? Because I asked that because it's like a bonus to have those if you spend 45s, but if you don't spend 45s, there's not much of a draw there.
Not necessarily. because Mo Jackson is saying with the technology today, it doesn't matter if you got yourself, you can still use those tables, you know, with the control vinyls. There is 7-inch control vinyls. You can use those with phase, you know what I'm saying? If you just want, you know, without the needle, you can throw phase on them. So, yeah, there are some DJs who may want the spinning platter, but don't want the heaviness of the usual records and may, hey, look, I can have the squat set with the 2 7-inch platters and I'm still getting my Serato and all of that on. So, yeah, it depends on how you spin and what you want to use them for. I think it's always going to be a niche because it is 45s. And you really got to be a vinyl guy in the first place to really even deal with them. I don't see Young Bulls having a... This is for dinosaurs.
Oh, not at all. Yeah. I can't imagine that at all.
This is for the short arms only.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? This is just for dinosaurs. I don't see Young Bulls getting into it unless they in the 45s, you know, and then you do have that sub-genre of cats who do. I've seen plenty of videos where Jazzy Jeff is doing 45 sets.
Yes, I've seen. I went to the show that he did in L.A. with that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So when you talk about the top turntablists of respect, you know what I'm saying. We're not talking about push button niggas. You know what I mean? So no doubt. All right, let's get to the second piece of equipment. Second piece of equipment that came out. Rain finally come out with the Rain 1 MK2. If you don't know, Rain 1 is the motorized platters. You know what I'm saying, on the controller. Or whatever, the Rain 1.
He's doing the hand motions, y'all.
So they come out with the MK2. Now, it's in, as a color scheme, it's what you expected. It's an upgrade. They got the different push button stem buttons already integrated. So if you want the beat to drop out, boom, all of that, vocal only, add a push of a button. You don't have to do a lot of menu shit, which is kind of cool.
So basically, when the track loads up, it already loads up with the stems already separated.
Right. All you got to do is push the button.
Okay.
Yeah, all you got to do is push the button. The first controller did not have inboard effects. It was only software effects only. So they added the inboard effects, and they added that. And, of course, it's got the whole different menu situation. You know what I'm saying? It's strictly for young minds only. Kids was going through the menus, and if you hit shift that and then another shift, you could nigga, I was out the whip.
He said too much.
Yeah, I was movement. Out the whip because
if I just want to put it on and play it.
So which leads me to is a wonderful update as that is, and I could see people wanting to buy it, although it's only in white. I don't like white equipment of any sort.
Racist.
You racist bastard, you.
But for dinosaurs, there's an opportunity for us. Kerji was discussing it earlier. I was like, wow. So the original Rain 1 will plummet in price. Now, I don't give a flying about onboard effects versus outboard effects and this, that, and the third, because more than likely, when we DJ out, it is about the particular music that you're playing, and crowds don't give a flying, whether you're pushing button or blending. We have a personal affinity to try to get the blends in, you know, some baby cutting. And for the most part, that's how we're going to roll. The Rain 1, the original, will take care of that for us at a substantial discount.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting my AARP on out here, bruh.
I need to get, give me that 5, 10%. I need it.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So that represents a newfangled toy for the youth and substantial discounts for us who are gray heads, you know, shout the gray skull, if you will.
Hey,
get
a
substantial discount. So that is your gear slutting report.
Gear slut.
For this week.
But then again, just real quick before you get out of that, they may increase in price as well because now they'll be a relic.
And nah, be on the used market. They gonna dump them jokers.
Oh, used market? Yeah, you'll get it for $25.
Yeah, they gonna dump them.
Well, so it won't be that cheap, but I'm just saying. But yeah, they gonna dump it to get money to get the new one. And so you just wait around in the lobby, you know, for somebody to get that around enough.
What do you say, paddling around?
Right, exactly. Oh, you want $1,500 for it now. I'll be back in about two weeks. You're going to be down to $600.
Right, exactly. So, no doubt. All right, so, as we move on, next topic on Hip Hop Digest is Trick Trick the guy from Detroit who said no fly zone?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's definitely him.
How come we don't have a no fly zone for some particular individuals?
So you saying individual fly zones?
Well, I'm just wondering.
You're very specific.
Okay, let me get right down to it. I'm just wondering why we don't have such a thing in the African American community, because there's a couple of individuals, and we're going to get to them a little bit, at least one at a time, or at least the top three. First, we're going to start with the 500-pound MC from Iowa by the name of Dave Blunts, who Dave Blunts is on Academics' show.
I never even heard of this name.
Yeah, word
plus
is born.
You gave him a benefit by saying MC, first of all.
Okay, so yeah, I misspoke. So
he's just a rapper.
So yeah,
if that.
Yeah, the 500-pound
candy rapper.
Yeah, if that, Dave Blunts. So anyway, he's on Academics and Ack, who also should be put on the no fly zone list as well, is clearly trolling. Clearly, and I'm
what's
not
new though,
and but I'm not defending Kendrick. It's not about the defense of Kendrick. Kendrick does well on his own. What I'm talking about is the ignorant shit that Dave Blunt said, that he's 25 years old and he only want to listen to Lil Durk and Chief Keef and fuck that pro black shit. I just want to hear about killing up shit and all that ignorant shit. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, B. You got a mom, you got a grandma, you got family members, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, nigga, I mean, you really gonna get on the microphone and say that shit? About killing African Americans? I mean,
But that's the music though, B. You know what? I almost can't even blame him for what he does and what he's saying, because it's what they listen to. It is that what they do. And They're so past, they've been born into this music, to this trap, to this talking about killing niggas and doing that. They're born into the music. That's all they know. So to blame a nigga for talking about some shit that's all he know, I can't really blame him, because he's been indoctrinated to this shit.
Okay,
it's what he listens to.
So Dave Blunt's from Iowa. All right. So first of all, so being born into what, nigga?
Into this.
Me.
That
nigga,
that shit,
nigga live in Iowa. You know what I mean?
But B, it doesn't matter. But you, this ain't 97, B, where you could talk that he live in Iowa. Nigga can get on his phone and be in fucking anywhere you want to be in the world and listen to whatever he wants to listen to just by being on his phone. He could be any place on the planet. This nigga can live on an island by himself as long as he got fucking Wi-Fi and cell service on that bitch. He gonna be good. He can be anywhere you want to be in the world. So I can't say just because you in a certain space that you don't know shit or you ain't there. This is some country nigga from, he gonna know anything by being on his phone and being on the fucking internet and being on the web, social media. He gonna know all he need to know.
So may I?
Go ahead.
Since
please.
A slight break after rewatching, because I told Killer I was gonna rewatch it and I did. I feel like that dude is just another one of those, and this ain't no conspiracy shit, it's just what I'm saying, some old ignorant, another ignorant industry plant to even be. I mean, first of all, he's not talented.
No, okay? He's not.
You're not talented at all, but you are famous. And how are you famous? He's famous.
Okay.
He's famous, all B. Right. We're talking about this nigga. He's famous. Okay? But what is he famous for? Saying dumb shit, talking about can he rap on a couch, on a stage, bringing a fucking oxygen tank to the stage. That's what you're famous for? Yet you're going to come out here and say some ignorant stuff like that. I don't care if you're 25, and I'm not defending Kendrick either, but who on this earth can legitimately say they don't know the lyrics to that song? It's just some of the lyrics to that song.
But again, and this is where I'm saying, act up there talking about you know what I'm saying, finish the statement. You know what I'm saying?
And he very well could have, but he didn't. He played ignorant. You saw it. He played ignorant.
No. Yeah, but I'm
on purpose.
My question is, Swear, we talk about a lot of shit, when, especially the show last week, pregame. We didn't record it.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason why this topic is even here now, because pregame, we had a pretty good conversation about African-American standards in our community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're very low right now.
Oh, and I'm saying to myself,
swing low.
When a guy like Ack can exist, when Dave Blunt's can exist, and they ain't the only one. I got another cat I'm going to throw up in there, too.
But the number one cat, I bet you.
Well, maybe.
The one that you don't fuck with at all.
We'll get there.
Come on.
But, you know, how do these people exist? I understand, and this is not the cat who I'm going to allude to, but he is the example. Kanye West was famous before he went, you know, crazy and ignorant. And so there's a lag for him, and we're not really talking about him, but we're talking about cats, particularly like Ack, Dave Blunt's. And so the other cat too, I'm throwing Jimmy in there, Jim Jones. I'm throwing fucking, can you believe we talking about this nigga like the third show in a row? Fabio Foreign, you know, fuck Nas. I don't know, I can't name one Nas bar. You know what I mean? Why? Because we can get up here and trash the art and be like Dave Blunt's whack on the mic. And that's what we do.
Right.
We can get up here. Yeah, and we can get up here and be like Jimmy whack and so-and-so. Or even Nas. We'll be like, yo, Nas, you know what I'm saying? He still doesn't pick the best beats. You know, this, that, and the third. And critique art. But what Mr. Blunt's and Ack and Fabio Foreign and some of these cats, I'm like, damn, there's not a no-fly zone. And there is, what percentage of us are bringing that in that are cheering for these niggas? What percentage, G?
Cheering for the negative side?
Yeah, cheering for them. Wanting to hear more of that type of rhetoric.
It's programmed at this point, B.
Exactly, B. Like I said, they've been indoctrinated into what they do and how they do it. And Jimmy is probably one of the niggas that help indoctrinate and bring these niggas into this shit. So they have high reverence for a nigga like that. And I know that it's trolling when a nigga say they don't know Nas shit, because they can't help but know Nas. He's one of the fucking pioneers of these niggas and what they do. Not the trap shit, but the New York shit. So New York nigga, Fabio, Jimmy, them niggas can't say they nothing about Nas. Now, the nigga from Iowa, he could say, I don't know no Nas bars, and I could believe him when he says this shit. When I hear these niggas, Jimmy and them niggas, talking crazy about Nas, I don't even want to hear that shit.
Yeah,
niggas know this nigga. He a New York fucking legend.
Yeah, but those niggas, and this goes part and parcel, those niggas, they know it, but they like, yo, somehow, some way, you know, I gotta... Because my shit is trash compared to his. Somehow, some way, we got to...
Wait, hold on. Y'all are forgetting... Not y'all. Killer, right now I'm talking to you.
My man.
Are forgetting the audience that these people are reaching.
Right.
They don't care. Okay. They don't know Nas.
Okay,
they don't.
So let me back up just a little bit.
But that's why I specifically said other niggas. I can see the nigga in Iowa or niggas like him don't know Nas, but... Them niggas in New York, I don't give a fuck if you're a baby in New York. You know right. This legend from New York. He is one of the fucking three faces on any mural that you're going to see of a nigga from New York that's fucking hot as shit in New York. His face is going to be one of the three faces up there. So there's no way you don't know this nigga.
I got a question. I did ask for, is this...
Is it as serious as cancer?
No doubt. But what I'm saying is, I asked for a percentage, or is it cut strictly on that the youth is so intimidated? The youth are so
careful
intimidated
now. Careful.
Exactly.
By bars and an intelligent convo that they have to denigrate. No.
It's not intimidation.
I'm gonna let you answer this one, sir.
Okay, all right.
It's not intimidation. It's programming. B, let me give you a freaking couple seconds history lesson. When the radio was hot and everybody's listening to the radio, they were saying the home of hip-hop and R&B. But were they playing hip-hop and R&B?
No.
So you got the little kids in the car hearing the home of hip-hop and R&B, but you're hearing that music that was being played that we know was not hip-hop and R&B.
Right.
So right there, to bring it all the way, I said a couple of seconds, that shit is programming. So these kids now that were 7 and 8 listening to that shit are now in their 20s.
And they got 7 and 8 year olds.
And they got 7 and 8 year olds, and they have a fucking idea of what hip hop and R&B is, but it's not. So they don't relate to none of this shit.
So can
you're
I
talking
put,
about
so
right
can
now.
I put the bookends together? So go on ahead, one bookend, you got Dave Blunt. I don't want to hear nothing about that pro-black shit. We don't listen to no pro-black shit. We want to hear kill 'em. And then you got ignorant niggas like Favio Foreign, you know what I'm saying, who, like Kirk G says, he a New Yorker. So you don't sit up there and say that you don't know nothing about no Nasir Jones. That's impossible for you. I don't care when you were born. That's impossible as a New Yorker.
The internet will make him say that, though.
Of course, like you said, to feed that audience that he's trying to talk to,
yes.
That niggas that's in his age bracket, that the niggas that's on his social media feed, of course you need to feed them the same shit that they want to hear that make him sound that.
If he's at the barbershop, he's reciting life's a bitch and then you die.
Right.
Okay?
Got you.
So, yeah, that shit is for clicks, views, likes, my G. Mm. Keep that in the forefront of right now.
Okay.
Clicks, views, likes. Say the most ignorant shit to get clicks, views, and likes.
So let me get my next question out of the way. And I guess there isn't a percentage, and you guys are saying it, that it's not necessarily based on age between Dave Blunt's act, Favio Foreign, Jimmy types. You know what I'm saying?
Where people are age.
Right. Who've been indoctrinated by the radio, right. And all they know for what is what they heard, and now their playlist on their phone is just matching the shit that these niggas is telling you is hip hop and R&B.
Or people our age say, oh, there's no good hip, or excuse me, the people our age will say, there's no good rap out now. What are you talking about?
So I'm going to ask, I want to ask the, just maybe, and people aren't social psychologists or whatever, but I wonder what percentage of African Americans feel that an ignorant ass, fucking mush mouth ass Dave Blunt's,
damn,
and an ignorant ass, jail nigga ass type Favio Foreign represents the best of us, and we want to represent them Jim Jones jail nigga shit versus an intelligent guy like Nasir Jones and a guy like Kendrick Lamar who just exemplifies what the culture can be and where you can take it. What? I wonder what that percentage is, real talk, B, about niggas who is like, nigga, we about this mush mouth ignorant jail nigga shit versus
the quick answer, B, is 100%. 100% of the motherfuckers that like that shit, and they're gonna represent that shit. 100%.
Wow.
100% of the people that even care to click on and agree with Dave Blunt, is that his name?
Yeah.
100% of the people that listen to him and know who he is are going to be like, yep, what he said.
Right.
But 100%.
See, the thing is, to even hear shit like this, and as you said, he is just a plant. To even hear a nigga say some shit like that lets me know that there's fear going on out there that a nigga like Kendrick could bring forth some change.
Yes,
because,
sir.
Guess what happened right after Kendrick? Not too long after GNX. We just talked about the album. These niggas, old-ass dinosaur niggas like us, the Clips, is out here getting praise. That, which, again, with lyrics. With bringing something different, with a little substance. Even though the substance is substance abuse. But they're bringing, they're speaking it and saying it in a way that an ignorant nigga is not saying it that way. So it's like they're bringing back another layer to this shit that we call hip hop, which used to be layered. There were several layers to hip hop. There was a layer that was about the streets, always been about the streets, and never going to change anything. Even in the underground, there's still niggas this level of this, about the streets. But then you got layers of niggas that's on some conscious shit, that talk that shit. Layers of niggas that's on some grown man shit.
Yep.
This shit over here is just all about one thing and one thing only.
Ignorance.
Whether it's coming from a male or female perspective, there's ignorance.
Ignorance.
Because I heard a song the other day and it had me cracking the fuck up. And I can't believe they let the shit go on the radio and let it say what it said. It was fucking Glorilla. And when it was playing, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? She said, I'm showing off my moose knuckle. I'm like, showing off your moose knuckle? I'm like, what the fuck? Did they let that shit just go across the radio airwaves like that? Showing off her moose knuckle? I said, wow, that's crazy. But and I was laughing my ass off over that. But I'm like, I guess they don't know what a moose knuckle is. First
of all, they know.
It's some country ass shit, I guess.
They know let it what slide a moose knuckle through. Is.
But yeah. I'm just saying,
camel toe, moose knuckle, right, they know what
exactly.
It is.
But I'm saying that's what it is on the other side. It's ignorance from female and male level shit. It's all ignorance coming out. And that's what they want. It
lowest common denominator.
Exactly. They want that shit to continue. They don't want this new wave to come through. This new wave is starting to shake the minds of some of these younger people. Okay. That's what's fucking them up. So, it ain't just dinosaur niggas, short arm niggas that love this shit that's coming out with Kendrick and the clips. It's some of these younger folks that say, wait a minute, my parents is listening to this ignorant shit. I don't want to hear that. Because you know kids don't want to listen to their parents' music.
No. Yeah?
So their parents have been growing them up on this ignorant shit. Some of these kids are like, wait a minute, what is that over there? That sounds different. I don't want to hear this bullshit no more. I want to listen to what they listening to.
What is that?
What is that? That sounds good to me.
All right, B.I. You know, me and Igri, we were really in deep in conversation on a whole nother level about this.
We were about the black community. And at some point, we may do that on the show.
That show, that right there, it can only go the same way it always goes when we talk about it on this show.
No. We were at a different angle. Time.
Yeah.
We always black on black crime, and we love that shit to
death. This was not necessarily that. But
okay.
But anyway,
it might be some black on black, but not crime. You would have loved it. And as soon as we finished talking, Killer was like, "Damn, Kirk gonna be mad we didn't record that."
All right, yo, that's what's up, yo. Let's rock. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. This is some TMZ, but I tell you what, man. I felt a little sorry for your boy, and maybe it was a stunt or whatever. And this is strictly TMZ.
Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
James, don't say it.
Why?
Don't say it.
Why? Because I think there's
We just got done talking about Nas. You're not about to bring up another one, are you?
Lil Nas X.
Oh, my God.
You feel sorry for him?
So, okay. This is the thing. So, let me put it in a quick capsule.
Okay.
So, Lil Nas X, everybody knows who he is or whatever. Yeah, from one Nas to the other. So, you know, he comes out. He does his thing or whatever, and he's the toast of the town for like 2 seconds. So he has his run, he has his fame or whatever, but then now it goes away. And I remember at the height of that Old Town Road shit, I thought to myself, damn, this nigga probably has no more records that he has. He will never have another hit.
Not that big.
B, he will never have another record. He's over. And I thought about that for a hot second because I was thinking how this usually goes is that we going to watch a demise of that cat. Because he got nothing to offer. He has no talent. Now, I don't know, maybe he could go out there drag queen and blow up in that community, maybe, I guess. But anyway, so he's running around L.A. and whatnot, wilding. Got picked up, charged with felonies for assaulting an officer. Probably clearly all doped up, wigged out.
I feel sorry for him now, the way you're talking about the nigga.
Well, I'm only saying that.
has been washed up nigga that's only going to be arrested, locked up, and strung out on drugs.
Because from a human interest story, it really is a cautionary tale. You know, whenever that record was out and then people, Billy Ray and them niggas jumped on it, this cat was the toast of everything. But you can clearly see that was going to be it for him.
Damn. That's it for him. He ain't got no more records.
So let me interject, because there is at least two or three more records that put him, that kept him in the limelight for a while. Okay. Including a song that I don't know the name of it or anything like that, but the song where the video was him
with the devil
sliding down a pole, giving the devil a little something.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
So he maybe let's just say he blew his wad. But as we know, this entertainment game, I was gonna say Hollywood game, but we'll say this entertainment game is success, fame, by any means necessary.
Yes.
And so I did see the video of him walking down the street in his underwear and some cowboy boots.
Yeah.
I saw it and I thought, wow, he done took the wrong drug. That's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I thought, after that, I thought, once I saw the, because I didn't know he got arrested. I just saw the dude in the car following him, talking to the car, dude in the car. But after that, seeing him in jail, his jail picture, and him talking about how terrible his 3 days of jail, whatever the fuck was, I was like, maybe this was a publicity stunt. Like, you know, like you're alluding to, Killer. Maybe this is a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
But after thinking about it, I think it's probably more a drug stunt. You know what I'm saying? Because he was,
right.
He was definitely on some wildness, yeah, like super wildness.
I couldn't even get 2 seconds into the video. As soon as I seen that it was this nigga, I was like, I knew it was bad drugs immediately, because it made me think about Kodak Black.
Yeah.
But immediately, like, these niggas, they just won't learn. These niggas,
they're on the street.
Right. Yeah. Looking crazy. And these niggas just gonna fucking drug themselves to death.
And then so, whether if it takes 2 years or the slow demise, and we're talking about a genius. It's funny. It's not fair to bring this gentleman up in comparison, but I'm saying what took Sly Stone 50 years to happen to him. You know, a guy like Kodak Black, a guy like Lil Nas X, they gonna burn. You know what I'm saying? They gonna burn out quick. It's over for these niggas because they got nothing.
It's the same and different, B. It's you can't take away Jimi Hendrix or
Last week we talked about this shit to me on a talent level. Sly Stone and Jimmy. Okay. Yeah, you're right. One, Jimmy burnt out quick, but he was the master of everything. It took 60 years for Sly to live his life. And he died an old man, no matter how he ended up. But he's a freaking genius, you know, to the first order. Kodak and Lil Nas X, yo, they got nothing. And so
industry plants,
from a human interest story, I don't really want to see anything bad happen to these cats. But when these cats have nothing, they have no talent, they have nothing, you see a bad ending.
There's a lot of people like Kodak, B.
There's a lot of people like that. And that's
you like him.
B, that is that. Well, I like what he did. I wasn't a Kodak proponent like that.
Well, you sound like a fucking Elmer Fudd right now, nigga.
He on his team now. He called him Kodak. When he was on his team, he was Kodiak.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? All right.
I'll take that. Okay. Right, yeah. All right.
You on record, B.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. All right. Everybody gets an up and comings, and I guess I'm
Curtis got
mine.
His. Yeah. Curtis got his Migos.
Right? I still take straight shots for the Migos.
And I got my DaBaby.
I heard y'all niggas on the last show getting straight shots off with the Migos and shit. I was like, damn, I'm catching strays. I wasn't even on the show. Damn.
All right, so, yeah, we're going to keep it moving, yo. There's way too much time on that.
Kurt sitting there in his chair just shaking.
Right. I'm sitting there like, I'm mixing this shit. I said, this nigga sent me this shit. Want me to mix this shit? And I'm catching stray shots? What the fuck? I can't even duck.
All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is ESPN will not air the Spike Lee documentary on Colin Kaepernick, citing creative differences.
Creative differences between who?
It was just the title. There's a three-way hookup here. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? The title would suggest ESPN cock blocking Spike Lee.
Right, but
there's a three-way hookup here.
Sure is.
The subject matter of the doc had issues about the doc as well. Mm. Now I don't know how much him and Spike Lee was back and forth at each other. I don't have that many details on that aspect of it. I'm pretty sure the clear headline that you know after ESPN got in bed with the National Football League. Hell, I'm talking about a three-way hookup. It's probably a four-way hookup and whatnot.
Well, plus, there's a lot going on in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus, they follow the ball.
Yeah, you know.
But the worst part, let's just get to it.
All right, well, then get to it, son.
The worst part is Spike and Colin Kaepernick having the creative differences. That's where it gets down to it. I don't know. I think Spike was trying to show a broader. This is just my little bit of. I just did a little bit of digging on that. I didn't go all the way down a rabbit hole. A little bit. But Spike was trying to get at the whole NFL.
I can believe that. Yeah, I can believe that.
Colin was like, hold on, yo, this is about me. And because they couldn't get it together. And possibly the NFL saying, fuck out of here.
Y'all ain't just going to be shooting at
us. Yeah, fuck that. There's a whole gumbo, but the biggest part was the director wanted to bring the whole NFL into light, and the star of the show was like, nah, yo, this is about me.
Fuck the NFL. You supposed to be my documentary.
Yeah, well, he got a check, though. He got it. To this day, I ain't let that go. He got a check.
He did take a check.
He got quiet.
Well, I tell you what, and that's probably, and you know, if you really know Spike Lee, there's no doubt about it that he was going to bring the NFL to their knees and make them yield, but he was not going to turn his back on your boy getting some dollars and then fading to the back.
Oh, he'd have threw him in there too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think knowing who Spike is and knowing how Spike get down, I don't think he was going to willfully ignore that. You know, I think that the three-way hookup is that all parties got to look at that and was like, the National Football League's going to end up looking bad. Cap, yep. Who will, let's say, 90% of the documentary looks like a hero, but at the end, you know, looks like that, you know, they finally came with enough dough, right? I mean, and so I think that parties were kind of, you know, jacked up about that.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah.
And this is just one of the
perfect storm for ESPN to be like, yo, holla back.
It is so crazy because that it goes on the list of something that if there is somebody out there, some bootlegger, somebody who can break in the computers and get that. It's two documentaries. It's this documentary and the uncut documentary about Prince Rogers Nelson. Those are the two that people were like, nah, we can't have that out there. Look, man, you know, your boy Prince, I love Prince, man, but you know what I'm saying? He has some shit with him. And that's, and there's not
everybody
wrong.
Does.
Everybody does. Yeah, of course. You know what I mean? So that's what that is. So yeah, that's a three way, maybe a four way hookup. You're right.
It's a win for the NFL, though.
It is.
To keep that shit on ice.
It is.
when you got somebody that people listen to and has a certain segment of the community that watches football and also listens and watches Spike and knows what Spike is about. You don't need that in
your
life.
Well, and then, you know, the fact they got Spike jammed up on that non-disclosure agreement, too. Oh, man, they got him.
He should have known better, though. He should have known better.
But he had to sign in order to even do that, Doc.
Yeah, exactly.
He had to sign that shit.
Yeah, so.
And he thought he was going to be able to be slick about it and get in. But well, then look, probably Cap came in and threw the last monkey wrench in the system.
He did the documentary, and let's be 100. He did the documentary. but he signed a non-disclosure agreement. I mean, Spike got paid for his work. He did his thing. He got paid.
Of course, of course.
You know what I'm saying? The docs are not coming out. Spike said, okay, it's over. I let it go. I walked away. You know what I'm saying? But I'm hoping somewhere Spike got it in his vault. And maybe
you can't release it.
I know, you know what I'm saying? And you
not
know,
on the NDA.
Not without taking a hit.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody stole my laptop.
Yeah, you can get away with that one for a little bit.
Somebody stole my laptop.
You can get away with that one.
You can put that shit in the vault with that Jerry Lewis movie about the clown on the train. But anyway. Oh, they got quiet. Y'all don't know about that?
That's a deep dive into something.
That is a deep dive.
That's a whole another racial subject going down.
Right.
True that. We here now. Let's be here.
So, all right, no doubt. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is I call this thing your boy Scarface. Put on a couple pods or whatever. Talk, man, he ain't doing music. Really talking about this, you know, things we've been talking about for a little while, streaming and this, that, and the third. A million streams equals $4,000, and he don't care about the music industry and this, that, and the third. I mean, it's a loss for us because we know Scarface, especially with this veteran renaissance we got going on, would be one of the ones who'd probably put out album Excellent A1. And not to have his voice being heard out there is just an indictment. Because he's good, and if he did do it, it would just be the music. He's not going to be out there showing his ass. That's not who he is, you know.
Can I say hyperbole?
Oh, wow. Really?
Mm.
A hyperbole, B. I saw some of that stuff and read some of that stuff, and I'm like, I get it. People get sick of the business and all the stuff and the direction of the music industry and stuff, but I guarantee you, if the right situation comes up, you will hear Scarface's voice again.
I'm quite sure the money talks. So if a nigga throw him a nice bag, he's gonna be out.
I don't even know about the money.
I tell you what, if Hove calls him, he makes records.
You think Hove?
I think if Hove calls him,
well, he has reverence for Hove.
He has reverence, and he has a relationship with Hove. He has a solid.
We know how rare that shit is where that dude puts out records. But I'm just saying, if the hip hop rap road is strewn with people talking about retirement or not making records anymore, and then we hear more records. There's only one, and that is the Joe Budden, who has said I'm retired and has not made a record since he said that.
Yeah, that's real.
All these other folks that say that retired shit still make records. And I'm not begrudging them of that, because if it's in you, it's fucking in you. You might be tired of the shit. Just say that. I'm tired of this shit. But if you are an artist, especially a respected, well-respected artist, then that's who you are. You can't stop that.
I feel you, but I understand what he was saying on a different level, where he was saying the streaming shit, he don't want to be putting music out for pennies. They pay a lot of money and do a lot to have to put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into putting this project together, and then for them to give you pennies for your work, and they keep all the money.
Yes.
It's just like, why am I doing this? I love to do it. But why am I doing this to get no return for what I'm doing?
Yes, I agree with that. But I'm thinking on the lines. Killer's saying he's done. I don't believe that for a second.
No, I don't think he's done either. I don't think he's done. But I just think he doesn't want to fuck with streaming. He don't even put his music on there. Because I'm surprised anybody puts music on there, especially at the money that you're getting. You get more money from Bandcamp than you get from these niggas.
Yeah, that's real.
Well, when you got that industry machine behind you, you're going to get a little bit of money, B.
You're going to get advances. They give these niggas a lot of advances, but they got to pay back over time.
Yeah, they do. But the high-level characters...
Well, that's a lot of streams.
I don't know.
This is like the world. That's the 1% of the music industry that make money.
Yes.
The 1% that make the money.
And I tell you what, and please, let's not go down this road, but The people who are doing a lot of studying of your boy up north is wondering, damn, I wonder how fucked up his contract really is. He's got money. There's no doubt about that. But damn, does he really have a fucked up contract? And there were some things about I didn't know about his previous.
Everybody does.
I should have known.
You're getting fucked.
Maybe I should have known because I didn't know Wayne when he sold the Young Money, sold everything, including your boy up north, and then took the money and ran. So he has no access to earlier that Young Money shit. So anyway, I don't want to go there. I'm just saying I guess, you know, I understand Scarface when you look at it from that aspect of it. But Kirk G, and you're right. Is he done with MCing? No, I don't think so. But, you know,
it depends on how long he's still under somebody's contract, because he's an artist and he's a great artist.
At this point in time, he should have been on nobody's contract.
As long as he's been around.
I mean,
but see, again, the great Chuck D many years ago said there'll be a million record labels on the internet. So I can't defend if somebody said, yo, I'm gonna put you on and give you $8 billion to do this, at not to say another, but to do what you do, but you're gonna pay us back after these streams, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? As long as that machine has me collecting, then it is a mutual agreement. But if I'm getting 0.003 cents on a cent, then my lawyer has fucked me over.
You don't even have a lawyer. I can do that on my own. I don't need you to sign no bullshit like this, nigga. I can do this on my own. What the fuck I need you for? I thought I was gonna make some money out here.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to come back up later, too, talking lawyer talk. That's going to come up in another topic, I know.
All right, no doubt. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Kirk G gave up the homework.
And here we go.
And Kirk G, to the homework you gave up, tell the people what you're talking about.
Well, sir, the homework I gave up was, hold on here, because now I got to go back.
Uh-oh.
Nick Grant.
Yep.
And there's a short story about this. Diff hit me with an email and asking, did I have this Nick Grant album? And I was like, look. And I was like, okay. I took it personal. No, I ain't never heard of this one before, so I went looking for it. So then I went back and I looked, and the date on the email was from a couple months ago that he sent me for this shit. I don't know how the fuck that email slid through the cracks. I missed his email, but I was like, what the fuck? I ain't even heard this shit before. So I went and I started listening to it. And I'm like, wow. Okay. Let me send this to the fellas. Let me go ahead and send this to the fellas. I think the fellas might be interested in this. I guess I'll talk about it later when we start getting into the album. It has a little bit of a trap in there. Not the music, but it has a trap to me, where niggas at his age bracket are stuck in a certain place and they can't get out of it because of a certain thing. And I'll explain that later.
All right. So who wants to go first on their thoughts of the album?
I mean, since you're asking, you don't want to, and Curtis gave the joint, I guess that leaves me, huh?
He said, and Curtis gave the joint.
Y'all have no idea how much you're helping me right now, but that will come to that. But yes, when I saw the joint, I was like, okay, I knew I had to finish something else from that Dave Blunt shit that I told Killer I was going to watch. And then I said, I'll pay attention to this album. Goddamn, I want to give you the grade first. And I'm going to do it. My ears heard an A-minus album, and here's why. First and foremost, what you were saying about a trap, I was like, oh, but see, what I have a high appreciation for is somebody who can maneuver both situations. The Young Bulls and us, we rarely get that on an album. Nick Grant did that shit on this album. And I, you know how I always tell you though, the E Green album might not sound like the fucking regular album, right? Yo, I'm not taking off none of that young bullshit he did on there. I'm not taking none of that off. I'm listening to all of that because I have such a great appreciation for the records that he created on there. That one that when I started telling you I was going to talk about lawyers, but you kept saying that shit about, I forget what song it is, but he's talking about, just have your lawyer see your contract, nigga, or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That shit struck me. But the whole album I'm listening, I was like, okay, starting off like the Nick Grant that I know. Like, okay. And we get in there. Then we get in the middle towards the end. And it's 43 minutes. I forget how many tracks there are, but it's 43 minute album.
I just pulled it up on one of those streaming services. It's 14 songs.
14 tracks, 43 minutes.
Yeah, 14 tracks, 43 minutes.
I paid attention to that. But as I got towards the 3/4 of the album, then I start noticing, oh, you got that young bullshit on here. But he was still barring out. Still barring out on that trap sounding shit. But then the last song, I got to the last song, I said, see, this is why I get mad when people our age don't think there's hip hop out, because that fucking last song alone should be playing in everybody's ears. It should be, in my opinion. So for all that I just said, and I will say more, I'm sure, after you guys speak, I get a shit an A minus because it's a fucking great album. And I appreciate Nick Grant for what he did successfully to me by bringing the what we don't like versus what we like together on the same plane. It was great to me.
Okay.
All right. That's what's up. All right. I guess I'll go in. All right. King Killer's View, the album, and I guess I'll do the thing again. The stats again was 14 songs at 43 minutes. There's a penalty for that. There's a digital penalty for that.
He likes the tidy 10.
Yeah. And
damn, but it's 43 minutes, B.
30 minutes albums is what he wants.
B. In the digital age, you don't have that time. You just don't have that time. But that is a personal standard, but there is a penalty. All right. So, but the overall grade for me was a B minus. I think one of the genius things that he did on the album was not the fact that he had the young bull shit on there, but what it was. And I don't think he even barred out on that young boy shit. He did it as political satire. This was something that old heads, only maybe people our age can get. Cause he really, it's almost was like he was clowning them niggas.
He was.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it was great, great political satire when he had the young boy beats along with the young boy hooks and the fucked up cadence and all that. What a political satire, which was absolutely great. Only a thinking man would do that. An MC's MC. You know, the South Carolina born MC. This is not hyperbole what I'm talking about here. And two, the little bit of back and forth. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I'm getting to the point of, in my opinion, see, everybody is doing this, yo, J.I.D. barred up. Nick is way better than him.
Way
better than him, but look, J.I.D. got the dreads. He got the dumbass young boy wardrobe. His social media.
Let's not hate on him because he's nice, though.
B, I'm not saying he don't rhyme. Whack. I'm not saying he don't rhyme. I'm not saying that he don't. And I'm not even saying he ain't barred up.
Let's just say Nick Grant is better than him. But you digging throwing dirt over there.
No, I am. I need a bigger shovel.
He said they might be barred up for what they doing, but they need to go another level with their shit.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You know, again, I get down to the basics. You know, J.I.D. in there with a lot of broads and a light show and his management setting it up, right?
Wow.
But when we come to the basement and we bring Nick in, and then he don't want to get on the mic, and then he disgruntled.
Or he might have something in the tuck.
He better.
He might be like, oh, okay. All right.
He better.
It's this type of party. All right. I know what type of party this is.
He better. So anyway, as I continue on. So again, I'm giving an album the grade. It is a B minus album. But I do want to highlight absolute genius. And if you don't take nothing else, if the Digest text chain, if people, I don't care who listen to this show, if you only listen to one record, listen to track 11, Product Dealer User.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Absolute.
Yeah, yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Talk about sound like he on his Nasir Jones. I mean, absolute genius. If you don't listen to one other record, track 11, Product User Dealer. Am I saying that in the right order?
Yeah. Try it.
Product Dealer User.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Real quick. I'm sorry. I forgot to say something that made it an A minus. There was one record where he sounded exactly like Kendrick Lamar.
Yes. Yeah. You picked that one up too. Yes. Okay. He did. Yeah. He took the whole Kendrick cadence, which to me, the sound, the record, the music, it was still a more of that political satire that he was talking about.
Yeah,
where he was like, okay, this is what y'all like now. Let me show you how I can do that too.
I just didn't want to forget that.
No, no doubt. And again, when every time a record like that, it's like, boy, see, that's the record that I would have went to the store and bought the 12-inch single, because I'd have got the vocal, probably the acapella, probably the instrumental, and maybe a Pete Rock remix or something on that or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? Mm. But that record is so fire. It is incredible.
It is absolutely stupid. As soon as I heard that record, I immediately went to my sources and got that joint and said, I need this acapella for this shit. Damn. This shit here, I need to do a remix on it. I need high quality.
Oh,
remix.
Shit.
I already started working on it.
So
immediately I was like, oh, this shit's crazy.
So as far as, again, let me repeat, as far as King Killer, B minus, solid, stupid, solid album. I had mentioned him the show before I even knew this record was out. I didn't know. But again, here we are in the digital age. I don't went the whole year and not heard this record. If it wasn't for the homework, that's again why I'm saying B. I'm taking penalties. I don't care who it is, B. I'm putting penalties on niggas, yo. No more than 10 tracks, man, in the digital age. No more. If you're already getting jerked, if you get jerked on the streams, if you're doing that, you put out the fire 10 and then bounce.
I get you, but I'm more concerned about time than the amount of tracks.
Indeed.
It's 43 minutes, B.
Indeed.
I know you're talking 30, but it was 43 minutes.
I got you. So did I. All right. Okay, Kirk G.
All right. So I told y'all why I ended up with the homework, because Diff brought it to my attention, and I'm like, I missed this, and I can't believe it. Shout out to you, Diff, again. Thank you for that. I definitely appreciate this, and this album has made my top 10. I already put it on the list. Now, I don't know if it's going to end there, but it definitely made my top 10. So, since we gave out grades first, I gave it a solid B plus.
Okay.
And he gets that because it's Nick Grant. The nigga can spit. I mean, just fucking just out, all out spit. He's on that other level when it comes to niggas that can rap.
Yes, sir.
He's that nigga.
Yes, sir.
And it's a shame when niggas say underrated. Niggas say underrated a lot, but they talk about niggas that you know. Be like, well, I don't know if he really underrated. Yeah. Underrated like that. This nigga is underrated. You don't hear his name a lot, because he really is nice with it. But I listened to the album and I'm like, okay, nice. And then I started hearing the trap beats and the trap. And see, I took a whole different perspective from it, because now I'm listening and I'm like, you know what? Wait a minute. This nigga's my son's age. Mm-hmm. So I know why there's a bunch of trap on it. It's just what they grew up listening to. So they listen to it, and he knows how to maneuver his way around the trap music. He didn't get caught in the trap music and dumb it down to a trap music level where niggas want to take it. He still keeps the high level of MCing to a level where you're going, okay, I can fuck with him. Even though it's on a trap beat, I can fuck with this, because this nigga's still nice with it. I like that. So, but then Kent Killer gave me something else to think about when he said the political satire. I'm like, I didn't hear political satire when I heard it, because I'm like, he's just spitting over trap beats because that's just what they listen to. It's from his generation. It's,
oh, no, you wasn't paying attention then, because he was saying
I get it now. But okay. I did not think about that because I was just listening like, he's from the generation from my son's generation.
Oh, okay.
And they listen to trap music anyway. It's what they do. So I'm thinking he's just rapping over the same shit that he's into it, but he's rapping at a higher level than these other niggas is rapping on. But then when he gave me the political satire angle, I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, that's why. I'm looking at the names, and I'm like, okay. Killer came from a different perspective and gave me something else to think about with the political satire and when he was doing that. Even when you said that Kendrick shit, now I'm thinking, okay, he did that because he's just showing you niggas I can do that shit too.
Yep.
I can rap like Kendrick. None of these niggas can rap better than me. I can do this shit too. Basically what he was saying. Like, nigga, all these niggas you think is nice, nigga, I'm nicer than them. I can do this shit too.
He said that.
So I had to give him a B plus and not the A, the solid A, because what he did was he fucked me up with that product dealer and user joint. Because he was getting a solid A up to that point. Because I was giving him a solid A.
Wow.
When that product dealer came, I'm like, nigga.
Wow.
You could have gave us more of this shit. And you kept all them trap beats, nigga. You could have gave us a whole album with this shit. You would have got an A+ with a whole bunch of product dealer user type tracks. It would have been an A+ album for me. Number one on my list when it came to the end of the year. Because that one track was crazy.
That is absolutely crazy.
That one track lost him a grade level. Because I'm like,
y'all both gave him penalties.
He got a penalty for that. Because without that track on here, I would have gave him an A. But he put that track, and I'm like, nigga, you could have gave us more of that, and you didn't? Oh, you did not, nigga. You playing with me now. You get a B, a solid B on this album.
Damn. But I'm asking both of y'all now. Who's the last person that made an album that you think could fit both the young and the old?
Oh shit, maybe Kendrick.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's hard for me to answer that question because my music listening is so segregated. I don't dabble in any young boy hyperbole. I just don't do it.
I get it, but this so what I'm saying is, this was our homework. We listened to it, and he successfully, in my opinion, and
he did.
I'm asking your opinion, successfully balanced that shit.
He did.
Well, I think, again, and Kurt G made a good point. He's the same age as Curtis's son. So we know what the level of music that they came up under. So,
but he chose to give us some shits on his album. Not one. We always ask, let's give us one. This dude gave us half an album.
He did. Yeah. Oh.
I'm not trying to sway y'all's because basically it comes out to a B minus. I mean a B plus if we average it.
Well,
a minus,
tell you what.
B minus, B plus, it's a B plus. So
I tell you
it's
what.
A great album.
I tell you what, it's funny you ask that, and let me try to answer that, but from a different perspective. Look at the glowingness that we talked about. This particular record and even individual records. With glowing reverence. I don't think a young bull would give his trap offerings glowing references.
Of course not.
They would be like, that shit trash.
Because he's not on there. He's not talking the same shit that they want to hear.
He didn't say, 54 times.
Well, what he did is try to mimic cadence and delivery.
Yeah, he did. And he did that. He did it well.
A young bull would be insulted at the standard, what they want to hear. Youngboy wouldn't be buying that shit.
They would care. They might be like, oh, that beat hard, but that nigga, I don't really fuck with him like that.
And they
probably wouldn't listen because the other songs on the album, they probably trash it. Well, this nigga sound like he's 84, which he ain't 84, but I'm saying.
Right.
In their minds, that's some old shit. So I think it's a successful situation. With our average at being a B+, that's a win.
Oh, that's a big win.
A big, big win. That's, but it also tells you that this nigga shit going to be sitting there and nobody's going to be listening.
Yeah, that's...
I will.
Because we like it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a Hip Hop Digest curse.
if we like your shit, nigga, you a young boy, you are in trouble.
Yeah, no doubt.
And speaking of Hip Hop Digest, you said something earlier on one of the topics and it struck my mind. And we, like, of all the words we've made up, created, said... the one that follows through to this day because of who the three of us are, ultimately fucking with DJs and music, Push Button has followed us all the way to today. We done said all kind of stuff, corporate, all that stuff, but something about Push Button just sticks with us.
Because the game is still the same. Niggas are still pushing buttons. They ain't switched it. Niggas is still pushing.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I'm thanking my brothers here in front of the public listeners. You guys are helping me way more than you can even realize right now.
No doubt. So, all right, son. So, we're going to go ahead and get to the end of the show. And we're going to do the Digital Freaks albums of the week.
Lego.
All right. This week we got brought to you by Mr. Matt. It's Andre the Saint and, oh shit, Machacha? I guess that is how you say that. The Black Teddy Santos, Andre the Santos and Machacha, the Black Teddy Santos.
Damn, I want to hear that just because of the fucking name.
Right. And then brought to you by Pete, Surprise, Rock Marcy and DJ Premier.
Yeah.
Look, the coldest profession.
Yeah.
It's Rock Marcy and DJ Premier, the coldest
Marcy.
Profession. Yeah. Come on, B. It's Pete. You know he's going to put Rock Marcy.
Rock Asterisk.
Yeah, I heard you going at that nigga.
Yeah, he was.
Really giving him the business,
yeah,
B.
Yeah, he was.
I was like, wow.
Hey, I'm just saying what I'm saying. Shit. I ain't backing down. Shit. What's your record?
Shit. And then brought to you by me, Beep. Beep.
Oh.
Back up the truck, nigga. I noticed when I opened my joint up, I was out. I don't have any loaded up.
Oh, he ran himself over.
Yeah, I had to run myself over. I didn't have nothing. So I'm going to have to, this week, man. I'm going to go and listen to some albums and catch up.
All right. That's what's good.
All right. It'll be on the show cover, right?
No, I didn't even put it on there.
It'll be on the link. Mm-hmm. Or you're not going to do it at all.
No, I'll wait till next week. I'll wait till next show.
Oh, well, then there it is.
Yeah, I'm out for this one.
Leave it to the Digital Freaks.
Yes. Hey,
no doubt. All right, so to end the show, E-Swerve has some special words that he wants to say, and we want to give him the leeway on this show to do so. So, sir, the floor is yours.
Woo, man. I've alluded to you guys helping me several times during this show. And that is because I lost. Well, first, let me say this. I love a whole lot of people, a lot of people, and a whole lot of people love me. But when you come to, like, when you want to put words like best friend and all that kind of stuff, then I have to say that I lost my best friend on earth this past week. And of course, it's been very, very difficult. I almost didn't be a part of this show just to, you know, try to find where I'm going to be good. All right. So Quinn C. Harris, the second, met him in 1985 when I was in the Navy, and we've been friends for 40 years. He just was out here to visit me, and we had an amazing time. But the whole time I was feeling kind of weird because he was riding his motorcycle from Atlanta. He went with a group of guys to the real Mount Rushmore. Forget what we always be talking about, Mount Rushmore of this, that, and the other. They drove their motorcycles to Mount Rushmore. They were supposed to all come here to Vegas and hang out for a little bit. But his partners went back to Atlanta and he drove here. And he was here for 4 or 5 days, and then he went to see his cousin in Arizona on the way back to home. And I was concerned as hell, because it's one person alone riding on a motorcycle on these roads that most of us don't even fucking think about, because we're always in the street somewhere driving with street lights and this and the other. Not long, 50 miles of nothing type shit. But anyway, he left his... I didn't hear from him when he left here. And I was distraught. I could barely sleep because I was thinking, damn, I don't want to know that my friend is somewhere on the road with no help. But he made it to his cousin's house because I talked to his wife. And she told me, Irv, don't be mad at him. He was just tired, this, that, and the other. But I was very bothered because I couldn't sleep. But he called me later in that day and we were laughing. And I was like, yeah, let me talk first. I was mad as hell that you didn't call me or send me your ghoul or ways so I know where you are. I was furious and I didn't want to talk to you when I was furious. And then I went from furious to like this regular super concerned. And Quinn, as y'all know, his favorite thing was call somebody a little bitch, right? So I was like, yeah, I don't want to be a little bitch calling you on this shit. But by the time he had called me, I was already in a reflective state. So I said, Quinn, you and I know a whole lot of people on this planet. You are my best friend. You can never leave me out there while I don't know where you are, especially when you're by yourself. And I told him I love him. And he said, I love you too. And I thank you for letting me know that. And then we went on, talked about other stuff. But near the end of the call, he was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I'm gonna get up in the morning and make 1,000 miles. I'm going to go 1,000 miles before I stop. And I was like, man, that's probably not a good idea. Just ride until you get tired and get yourself a hotel like you always do. And then go the rest of the way home the next day. Whew, Lord. So then wife and I went to L.A. for a baby shower. And it was a Friday, last Friday, whenever, I don't know when we were posting this shit, but the last Friday from when we're recording. And we were at dinner, Tanya and I saw Rena's phone number. Rena is Quinn's wife. And I was like, oh, he probably stopped somewhere again and is told her to tell me he's okay. But as soon as I answered that phone and I heard her voice, I didn't even need her to tell me what I heard. The words I heard were, Quinn had an accident and he didn't make it. My brain shut down. So Tanya is right beside me. She's looking at me and telling me, give me the phone. And she's talking to Rena. Then she's like, go in the car, go get in the car, just go outside. And I did go outside the restaurant, but I walked back in because I was just in a fucking daze. I couldn't believe what I just heard. While Tanya was talking to her, she gave her the details and all that kind of stuff. And Tanya did tell me when we got back to the hotel what happened, but my brain, even in this moment, still is foggy on what was said. I just remember the words, he had an accident and didn't make it. And that was Friday night. And I have been in crazy shape since then. I'm good right this second because I'm talking to my brothers. And we're talking about something that I also love. And it gives me the chance to not think about the situation that is just taking place. My best friend in the whole world, 40 years, is no longer here. So, with that said, again, I want to thank my brothers for helping me stay up, pull through, be able to do this show in this moment. But it doesn't take away from my hurt, my pain, my loss, my grief. But it gives me a second to step aside because he would have wanted me to do the show. He would have wanted me to keep doing what he was proud of me for doing. So, thank you.
Jeez. there are no words, brother. There are absolutely no words.
Yeah. I guess, you know, in this situation, you know, that, you know, we're here for each other. We're here for you, no doubt. Yeah, like Herchie said, it's just pretty much just no words.
Yeah, that's a cinder block to the head, B. It just completely just takes you.
Yeah, we had known each other for 40 years, and we never ever talked about the end, like never, because you think you get old and you die, and it's just a fact of life because we all out of here at some point, right? But you don't think about that. So you don't talk about that. but it's the realest shit. And when, if it was old age, yeah, I would still have a pain. I would absolutely still have a pain, but it's old age, right? If it were sickness, so let's say he was sick for a year and he finally succumbed to a sickness. Yes, I'd have a chance to be prepared. But knowing he was on the road on a motorcycle by himself is very tough. So I don't know the details because I haven't, like Tanya told me, but I can't pull that together. So I don't have that, but you know, great memories, great times.
So anyway, yes, I want to, you know, shout out to Quinn. I knew Quinn. I didn't obviously, certainly didn't know him, you know, in the capacity that you did. You know, I just want to say that the Hip Hop Digest, for those who are listening, and just like Grayskull and other shows, you know, life happens. And we talk about a lot of stuff, you know, about the foolishness of youth. But this is real life. And this is, and we just want to put that out there that, you know, us, the Digest, the Text Chain, people who have shared personal things in their lives, you know, and that this is a community and that we are here for each other, you know, and no words, you know, only time and space will do the healing. And we thank, you know, and we thank Jesus for that design, that he gives us time and space and that we can bring our griefs and our concerns to him, you know, but we are also here for each other. And so I want to thank you, you know what I mean? Because that is, it's got to be very difficult, but healing at the same time. I mean, we are human.
Yeah.
You know, we are human, and we are going to go through a series of up and down emotions, you know, for a while, you know, so we understand that. And so go ahead.
Let me just also say, and this is, I swear to God, it's not for clicks and likes, but I did a video today that kind of, it's like a tribute to my brother on Instagram. So please take a look at that.
All right. So it's a certainly, it's been a Hip Hop Digest. We ended differently than we usually do. A very special dedication. Again, shout out, dedicated to Quinn, no doubt. And, you know, I'm going to say, like we always say, this is what we do because we do this. And this is how family does for each other.
And sir.
And I want to say it right here live, brother. I love you, brother. So we can hear this.
I love
this.
You too.
Like me and Killer was talking, you never know, brother.
Right.
You leave your house and you never know if you're coming back. So
that's right. That's right. It's an honor. It's a blessing to wake up in the morning. No matter what the day may bring, it's an honor to wake up in the morning.
All right. We'll see you when we see you. Peace.
Yes, sir.
One.